The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Brother Bert Harper, and it's my privilege to be with Dr. Alex McFarland. And folks, I want you to know that Alex is available to come and speak at your church, and you can find out more information there at alexmcfarland.com. But I want you to know that I'm also available to come speak, and I've got some great outlines from Dr. Alex McFarland. I've already told him I'm going to steal some of these.
It's all
and
right.
And he told me I didn't have to steal them, that I was welcome to them.
Amen.
But when we have the opportunity to sit down and chat and do a recording like we are now, we still want to give you the very best Bible study that we can during that hour, because that's what Exploring the Word is about. And so today we're going to talk about recovering the biblical ethic of love. And I teased Alex and told him I was going to introduce him as the love doctor, but I won't do that. Alex, thanks for being with us today.
Well, it's great to be here, and it's just always great to work with you. And Exploring the Word is pretty special to us, and by God's grace and for God's glory, I think it's become pretty special to a whole lot of listeners around the country. And I was on the road traveling, and a couple times in the last few months, people come up in airports,
yeah,
and they say, "Oh my goodness, Alex McFarland, I hear you on AFR every single day." And they'll look me up and down, you know, and I'll say, "It's a letdown, isn't it?"
Right.
You know? But we're excited about the truth of God's Word.
Absolutely.
And folks, what we want to do, we're going to bring out some scriptures. And one, if you want to turn there, is Colossians chapter 3. Jim, I thought we ought to do a show about, biblically speaking, what is love?
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's a topic that gets kicked around, thrown around, then frankly gets contorted out of its biblical meaning, it's what people think about love.
Right.
And J. Vernon McGee, you remember him, mm-hmm, he was a radio preacher, he's with the Lord several years, he talked about what he calls sloppy agape.
Right.
That, you know, love has come to mean whatever you want it to mean. But do you know, biblically, there is some very clear parameters about what love means. Obviously, God is the ultimate lover. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
Romans 5:8 says God demonstrated his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about, biblically speaking and from God's perspective, what is love?
And so through this, when we talk about what love is, it's also going to answer some of the questions of what love isn't.
Good point.
As people interpret love today, because it's one of those things that's, it's just a wide open field. You know, recently we've talked about gender identity, we've talked about homosexuality, and we've talked about some of those hard subjects. But love is, as you said, it's one of the most misunderstood things that Christians walk through every day. Well, we think we're showing love, when in fact what we may be showing isn't. So as we break that down today, I'm kind of excited about this. And you have, yeah, the scripture of Colossians 3, 12 through 14.
Yeah.
"Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone." I want to come back to that in just a minute. "And over forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them in perfect unity."
Mm.
Binds them all together in perfect unity. So, Alex, when we're looking at this, we've got some really good examples right there of how we're supposed to show love.
Yeah.
When we talk about compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But that's not all that love is.
Right.
Even in those aspects, there's more to it. And I think the other illustration that comes out of that is, if you truly love someone, you don't carry a grudge.
Mm.
Especially among the Christian brethren. You know, I think about when we talk about the Lord's Supper And when we go through that and we look at Hebrews and the way it says, and we even look back at the example of Christ, that before you come to the altar, go and make right with your brother. That is really a true example of love. And even as the scripture says, we are to forgive them as Lord forgave us.
Yeah.
And I think about people that I have had issues with over the years and people that I used to go to church with. And, you know, that's one of the things that Satan really tries to attack. The scripture promises that the gates of hell won't prevail against the church.
Yeah.
But so many times it's destroyed from inside because of grievances and anger and the unwillingness to forgive.
That's true. That's really true. You read this Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Fundamentally, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, fundamentally, our ability to love, to lay down our life for each other, to forgive, really, our ability to love flows out of the fact of our identity that's in Christ.
Yeah. And I like the point there that it's holy. And folks, that's H-O-L-Y.
Yeah.
Not W-H-O-L-L-Y.
Like fully or completely.
Right.
Although that's not a bad thought to invoke too, is it?
Right. Because he loves us and I think that speaks of the purity.
Yeah.
Of the love that we're to have. It's that rooted in God, that is one of the essences that he has. And obviously, displayed through the life of Christ, but it's meant to be holy. It's not meant to be self-serving.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be self-righteous. It's supposed to be, as we've talked about before, it's supposed to be a holy act of servitude.
Exactly. Look at this in verse 12 of Colossians 3. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Can you imagine how families and churches would be transformed if we really did model those things, if those were our benchmarks? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. I mean, it almost sounds like, you know, the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians.
Right.
But I think there's so many church squabbles that have wrecked the witness of a church in a community that came out of our inability to love. Now, quickly, somebody might say, and I've moderated a few church disputes. You know, you preach in 1,700 churches. I was very young in the ministry, and I was sent to a church to preach about a 2 or 3 day little Bible conference. I'm in the pastor's office. True story. Guy comes in. The pastor and this gentleman began. It got kind of heated. And I literally broke up a physical altercation in the pastor's office at about 10:30 before we go out to preach.
Yeah.
And you know what I did? I thought, hey, man, I don't care. I said, look, both of you get on your knees and pray to God right now. Now, that's an extreme case, I'll grant you. But could you imagine if we really remember, here's the other person. They're a brother or sister in Christ. They're a sinner for whom Christ died. They're a person in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
Of any group that we should selflessly love, it's our brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it?
It is. And you think about that and the attack that the enemy makes through that. You know, and this goes back to something we were talking about recently as well, where you mentioned that we go to church and then we have the pastor for lunch, you know, and we're not talking about in a good way. It's not like, hey, pastor, come eat with us today. It's like, hey, here's what the pastor did wrong today.
Yeah.
Can you believe he said that in his sermon?
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't directed at me when evidently it was.
And
it wasn't the preacher pointing anything out. It was the Holy Spirit bringing that to light so that not so that you could go gossip about it, but so that you could repent.
Exactly. I've overheard people say things like, look at so-and-so, and she sang a special up there. Who does she think she is?
Right.
I used to be in the choir. I'm better than that. They only did that because they want to be up there and be seen. We don't know that.
Right.
We don't know another person's heart. Bill Glass is an evangelist out of Texas, and he very famously said, God didn't call us to keep score. He called us to play the game.
Amen.
To run the race. And so if you're going to model compassion, kindness, humility, we don't judge another person's heart.
No.
Because, and listen, if I'm, you know, we're preaching a little bit forthrightly here, we need to do this because here's the deal. I cannot be the Holy Spirit.
It's not our job to be the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We can be the comfort of the Spirit in times of need.
Yeah.
But because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. You know, and a lot of times when someone's had a death in the family or someone is going through a trauma with another family member where there may have been an auto accident, mm-hmm. there are times that we are to be the hands and feet of Christ, but we are not to be the convictor.
That's right.
In fact, the gospel tells us, the scriptures tell us that we are to be restorers in those instances. And we do it without judgment, because I think if we do it with judgment, that's where we have the tendency to fall into the same sin ourselves.
Luke 6:35, Christ said this. He said, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great. You will be children of the Most High, because He is kind and grateful. He is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. So we're to love our enemies because at one time or another, we all have been enemies of God.
Right.
I've heard it said, Jim, that we should always be quick to give or receive an olive branch.
Yeah.
And if you've truly forgiven, have you ever counseled anybody and they said, well, I'll forgive, but I can't forget?
Yeah. That goes back to what I said earlier about the grievance. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. When the Lord forgave us, we're told that He cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
Satan is the one that continues to bring that up in our mind. And so what happens is that it goes from a grievance to a grudge to grievance, grudge, and then into the very base, you know, the worst, the very opposite of love, it becomes bitterness.
Yeah.
And once that, you know, once that happens, it's hard to get back to where you want to make peace with the person because you've allowed Satan to make you so miserable about it. Well, you know, I bet they didn't really want forgiveness. I bet they were just trying to make peace. And that's not a good thing. We're not looking to make peace. We're looking to restore relationships.
Exactly. And folks, this is Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Jim Stanley, the American Family Radio Network. Jim is with us. Bert is out today. And Jim, it's always an honor to have you on there. And, you know, I want to tell you, you and I have both pastored and we've both been on church staffs and both been on this just journey of life. And I don't know about you, but I've done it both ways. Let me just say this. In the journey of life, eventually, somebody's going to rub you the wrong way.
Right.
Somebody's going to step on your last nerve. If you're in the ministry, sheep. You know, we actually had some sheep on the farm for a while. This was in the early 70s. I guess my dad was going to try to raise sheep. They'll poop on your feet.
Right.
You'll be feeding them.
They don't care.
And they'll bite you.
Yeah.
Listen, the short road to bitterness is to take all that to heart.
Yeah. All right, folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. And as Alex mentioned, it's he and I today. Be praying for Bert and ask that the Lord would continue to heal him, and we'd be grateful for that. Stick around. More Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care.
call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Dr. Tony Evans says, even though we share a common destiny, God doesn't turn out cookie-cutter Christians. What balances those two extremes? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In football, you've heard me say, there is a rule book. The rule book gives the rules. And the rule book is the same for every team. Every team has the same rule book, except the Patriots when it comes to the balls and airing the balls, okay? But that's another story. Every team has the same rule book, but not every team has the same playbook. And they will adjust plays, change plays in the middle of the game based on how the game is going. Playbooks are adjustable, rule books are not. The Bible is God's rule book. It's the same for everybody in this room. It's non-adjustable, and it doesn't adjust based on your background, history, personality. No, it's the rule book. But God has different playbooks for everybody in the room. And what he has for you is different than what he has for me, but what he has for both of us will never be outside the rule book. So God gives us the rule book of the Bible, but he gives us the playbook of the Holy Spirit. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead you within the rule book with God's special guidance for you, because he has a different play he's calling for you. That's why you can't try to be me, because then you're running on my playbook, which means you're scoring touchdowns for me. And you need touchdowns for you. Therefore, there has to be a relationship with God and intimacy with the living word based on the written word, so he can call plays and so you can hear him in the speaker of your soul.
You can read hundreds of Dr. Evans' best stories in Tony Evans' book of illustrations. Check into getting a copy today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page and watch the latest broadcast. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland, Jim Stanley. You know, we're talking about love, and truly, biblically, what is love? C.S. Lewis wrote a book, and actually, it's, as far as I know, about the only known recording of his voice, but he did a thing called The Four Loves, and we're going to unpack some of those words. But Lewis said this, and I think he was right on the money. He said, biblically, love seeks the highest good of another. And love is the commitment to meet another person's needs. Now, God so loved the world. What was our greatest need? A Savior.
Right.
Forgiveness
right.
of sin. So true love seeks the highest good of another. And to get revenge or to hold a grudge or to force somebody to strong arm a friend, family member into, when I want your opinion, I'll tell you what it is.
That's right.
That's not love, is it, Jim?
That's a dad saying right there when he's talking to one of his children, and I've used it on all my kids, you know, because they go through that phase where they begin to think they know more than mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately for my children, I have said, look, when I want something out of you, I'll let you know.
Yes.
Because they get to the point where they feel like they have to have the last word.
You know, I used to always, my heart would sink if my dad would ever say, son, you and I going to have a powwow. Did you ever?
Yeah.
Because I knew I was about to get straightened out. But here's the thing. We had read Colossians 3. Christians are loved, and we are called to love.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, as a disciple, as a believer, and do you remember 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, says you're not your own. You're bought with a price.
Right.
Therefore, glorify God in your mortal body. Look, part of our calling is to be people of love. And I'm not talking about some, you know, fuzzy, you know, touchy-feely,
right.
sissy thing. But no, the serious commitment to love our Lord by being selfless and caring about the welfare of others.
Yeah.
And holding a grudge or wanting to get restitution or something. You know, before the break, you were talking about how God drops our sins in the sea of forgiveness.
Yeah.
One of the verses that I loved growing up in my young walk with Christ, I came across Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool.
Yeah.
And if Jesus doesn't hold anything against you, who am I to hold aught against another person?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great scripture reference, and I didn't think of that earlier. But, you know, when you walk through that, when you walk through the verses here in Colossians and you see these things, folks, let me be real clear. We are hoping to teach because we know that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we're not condemning what you're walking through. Right. Please understand that. We're hoping that you will use this to love better. And if you do have a grievance with someone, make it right.
Right.
Go to them and say, hey, and that person may not even realize that they have offended you mm-hmm. because that happens sometimes because we all live different lifestyles. And they may not realize that a comment they made cut deeply. So go to them. Make it right. It's honestly not that hard, but it seems like it's almost impossible to do.
Do you know, I know you're familiar with Ephesians 4. It's talking about really conflict resolution. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I did a little bit of word study on that bitterness word. It literally means gall in the system.
Yeah.
Like a poison in your system. And I don't know if, you know, we could talk about, you know, somebody's gallbladder getting
right.
stopped up. If I'm told that's quite uncomfortable if your gallbladder.
It's painful, and then they eventually have to remove it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you were saying that, I thought about a common ailment that folks have, you know, where you just have acid reflux.
Mm.
And you think about that and the bile that comes with that. When the bile duct gets blocked in the gallbladder, it intensifies everything else and makes it worse.
Mm.
And, you know, when you let bitterness take root, there are actually physical symptoms that go along with that because it costs you as a person so much to hold bitterness and to hold on to it and to hold anger and hold on to it. It becomes debilitating to the Bible, to the body.
Yeah, exactly. And I know somebody might be listening to this, but you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what so-and-so did to me. You don't know what's happened in my marriage or my family. But here's the thing. To nurse that wound
mm-hmm.
or to scheme on, you know, someday I'm going to tell them what for, it's not worth it.
No.
Life is too short. Life is too short. And the Word of God talks about forgiveness for a lot of reasons. One, because we have been forgiven. And look, I mean, think about interpersonal relationships. If Almighty God doesn't hold aught against you,
mm-hmm.
well, who am I to think that I have a right to hold a hammer over somebody's head? You see
yeah.
what I mean? And so let's talk about love a little bit. And let me just say this, as having counseled many people, to truly forgive, to truly let go, it is so freeing.
Yeah.
I've seen people, and Jim, it looked like a weight was lifted off of their back.
Well, it literally was.
Yeah.
I mean, when you release that and it's something you no longer carry, it's an incredible freeing thing for you as a person and growth for you as a Christian. Now, before the break, we were starting to get into the four different loves.
Right.
Break those down for us.
Exactly. In the Greek language, you know, we talk about love. We talk about belief. And thank the Lord for the English language.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Greek language, very specific, because they had different kind of nuances or shade of meaning. Many scholars have said, you know, it just was the providence of God that he chose the Bible to be written in Hebrew and Greek because
mm-hmm.
you could speak with great precision. But there's basically four words storge, phileo, eros, and agape. Now, storge is love for some kind of inanimate object. Like, I love peanut butter.
Right.
And I do.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm about 95% peanut butter.
Right, right.
I love peanut butter. Phileo is brotherly love. Man, I love Bert Harper.
Yeah.
You know, I love Jim Stanley. That's brotherly love. Eros is the love between a husband and wife. That's the intimate romantic love mm-hmm. of spouses for each other. And I'm sure everybody knows we get the word erotic from that,
right.
which in the biblical sense of marriage is very beautiful and pure. But then there's a kind of love that we can't really model, agapeo or agape often, and that's divine love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the love of God. Now, we can do some very, very highly matured phileo, and God can work through us to show agape love. But really, the foundation of agape love, the basis of it, and the only one who truly embodies that is the Lord Himself.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we think about, we're compelled by Scripture to exemplify Christ. And I think when we can develop the phileo love
yeah.
in the body and in the church, and we begin to understand that, then I think we get glimpses of agape.
Yeah.
I think that
yes.
I think that when you see a pastor who carries the burdens of his church and then takes them to the Lord and prays over them and asks the Lord to intervene, I think we begin to see, you know, glimpses of agape.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by and large that it's something that we strive for.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we hope for. But by and large, most of the things that we're going to do when we interact with other people is we're going to have a really strong phileo love. And, you know, it's like the love I have for you. It's the love I have for Bert.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love that I have for the institution mm-hmm. of American Family Association.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
There is a ton of grace here.
Oh, yeah.
And I do get angry, and I'm not sure I don't think it's anger that leads to sin, but it's that anger that makes you want to resist what the enemy is saying. But when people talk about the organization of American Family Association, that disturbs me deeply because I've been here almost 17 years.
Wow.
And I know the grace and love that has been extended to my family and then, you know, to the other people's family who work here. There's just so much grace here. There's no hate.
I know.
We have folks standing on railroad tracks with the train coming, refusing to get off, and all we're doing is hollering from the sidelines, the train's coming.
Wow.
You're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And so, but it goes back to what we've talked about before. People no longer want the truth. And the same is true with love. They want to corrupt it. They want to make it. You know, the world wants to make it. Because everybody can love everybody, and since God is love, it's okay.
Yeah.
But even God sets guidelines in love,
yeah.
and I think that's one of the reasons that we have the four words that we do.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, folks, I want to piggyback on something Jim said. Seriously, whenever Share-a-thon comes around, seriously, you owe it to yourself to come down here to AFA and participate. Jim, I've been around a lot of ministries. And this is, as you said, and you hit it on the head, this is such a place full of love and grace. And I've been in 7 years, I guess I've been here 6 or 8 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right many times to come down here. I've never, ever, ever felt any undercurrent or any bad blood. I think part of the reason that people are so drawn to this wonderful ministry, it is full of grace and love. And it's, like I say, not just sloppy, haphazard thing. No, it's the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been around a lot of ministries. I mean, I've been around a lot of ministries, and not all have that free, almost a joyous, exuberant atmosphere.
Right.
The presence of the Holy Spirit is in this place. And there is a very tangible just mindset of love here. And so You ought to come down sometime when Share-a-thon is. People can come and volunteer and things like that.
They can, and even if they're passing through town, they're welcome to come through. We have tightened security somewhat because of the day and age that we live in. But and some of the threats that have been made against the ministry in the past, but you're still welcome to come through, and depends on who's available then. Right. You never know who's going to lead that tour when we have visitors come in. Sometimes it's Derek Hayden, who's our human resources person. I've led some through, and so you come by, and we'll give you the nickel tour, and if it's on discount day, you'll get it for free.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know what? We have a word, and I'm sure many, many people listening are going to know this word. I know you will. Koinonia,
mm-hmm.
which often is translated fellowship.
Right.
When you're talking about that phileo love to the nth degree, and we're kind of knocking on the door of agape love.
Right.
Because God is the ultimate lover, and we've got this fellowship, the koinonia.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? Because when Christians, the Bible says how beautiful it is when brothers dwell together in love. That's a precious, precious thing, isn't it?
It is, and it's one of those things that part of it comes through relationships. If you're not willing to expose yourself to being hurt, mm-hmm. then you never expose yourself to being loved. Because it goes back to something we said in an earlier segment. When we look, it costs something for you to invest yourself in someone.
And there's risk.
And there are risks involved because you can try and mentor someone, and someone can try and mentor you, but if you don't ever build that relationship, if you don't ever actually, you know, let that in, then you've hurt the person that was trying to love, but you yourself have missed out on the opportunity of being loved. And I think that when we get to that point of intimate fellowship, when we get to that point that even where the Scripture calls on us to confess our sins one to another,
yeah.
we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And the reason we don't do that is because we're always worried somebody's going to turn that against us and use it at a later time. So when you can build that group of – there are a group of men here that I can go to and ask them to pray for any given thing, and they will. And they'll pray then. It's not one of those things that, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. No, let's pray.
Yeah.
You know, Joseph Parker called me on the phone the other day.
What a mighty man of God.
He is. And he said, hey, man, I need to pray for you. Will that be okay? Man, you can pray for me anytime you want to. But Joseph, that's how he shows love. He cares. He wants to be. Joseph Parker is a minister on staff here at AFA. And so that's you. When you see Joseph, you really do see the embodiment of this phileo love.
Yeah.
And I really believe that if anyone is going to get that extra glimpse of agape love, it's going to be with Joseph and in Joseph's church because
he's
just incredible. I didn't mean to take away from that, but when you asked me that question, that's the relationship that I'm talking about. I believe I can tell Bert Harper anything, and it will never come up again other than him saying, hey, man, how's it going?
Wow.
And that's where we need to get to as the body of Christ in the local body so that we can build those relationships.
Jim, if we have this kind of love, I think the world would beat a path to our door.
Amen. I fully agree. Folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. He's Alex McFarland. I'm Jim Stanley in for Bert Harper, and it's our pleasure to be with you as we continue on American Family Radio.
Ah, love. What are you doing to cultivate love? There is an inherent desire that exists within mankind to experience love. We want to be loved, and at the same time, we want to express love. Sincere love, that which is honest and pure, is a cultivated love. The word cultivate is defined as applying oneself to improving or developing. Mark 12:30 reminds us, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Intentionality is key to this passage of Scripture and for all of us. Love can only be cultivated adequately in aloneness with the one you love. You see, genuine revival stirs the follower of Jesus Christ to cultivate their love for God. This day, Valentine's Day, hit the pause button, step out of the traffic of life, and express your gratitude and love to the Lord. I'm Ryan Loving, revivalist with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin reveal the various kinds of intimacy in marriage: physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual. They'll explore ways to deepen and strengthen your relationship with your spouse as they share wisdom, humor, and stories from their own experience as a couple. That's next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. God removes kings and sets up kings. What does all this mean? Then God raised up Donald J. Trump out of his casino operation, womanizing background, standing against the godless ripping and tearing apart of pre-born babies. This all in the beginning weeks of his administration. God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his. Case in point, God spoke with sarcasm to Job and Job's friends, coaching them on how to see the smallness of their so-called wisdom. Quoting, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place?" Unquote. Job 38. God is still on the throne and we are not. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing your ways.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Stanley. It's my privilege to be in with Dr. Alex McFarland today. And we do ask that you keep Bert Harper in your prayers. In fact, keep Alex in your prayers as well, because Alex does a lot of traveling and he's on the road and in airports and out of airports. And, you know, my brother, he depends on his voice to be able to, when you bring somebody in to teach apologetics or you bring someone in to do an evangelistic sermon, the one thing that person has to be able to do is talk.
That's right.
And so pray for Alex, because he does travel a lot and his voice gets a lot of abuse. And I think back to not too far in the past, where he had gone to do a seminar and wound up doing 11 50-minute, and then the Q&A that comes after that. And he had literally exhausted his vocal cords.
And they had me in a gymnasium.
Yeah.
And there's a couple hundred kids with no PA. And, you know, it just, I got hoarse.
Yeah.
You know, but God is good. But, yeah, so, I do. You want to pray for me? Yeah, pray that I'll have my voice. Jim, if I'm on an airplane and somebody's hacking and it sounds like a TB ward,
right.
They will sit beside me.
Right, right.
You know. But so. God is good.
All right, folks, we're talking about recovering the biblical ethic of love, and we will put these notes up for you, because we're going to have to get after it to finish this topic up in one series.
Yeah.
So when we think of love, we've gone through the four different types of love. Love is a commitment.
It
How
is.
So?
Well, love is the commitment to meet another person's needs. And love seeks the highest good of another person.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not selfish. Jim, let me just say this. Love is not lust.
You know, that's a great point.
Love is not lust. Lust is fundamentally selfish. It really is.
Yeah.
And very often lust connotes wanting something that's not mine.
Right.
And so biblically, love is commitment. Second thing that I think is worth pointing out, love— from God's perspective, is benevolent.
Yeah.
Love is good. Look at that Colossians 3 again. There's compassion, kindness, humility, patience. These are the qualities that we're to exhibit. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says love is tender. So I'm just going to say this, and I mean, I've counseled couples, and every now and then a married couple will get to an impasse because often one or the other wants something, and sometimes that thing is not in the best interest of the other. Biblical love does not have an agenda.
Right, right. It's not a matter of keeping score.
Right.
Where I've done this much for you or you've done that much for me. That's not what it is. And when we think about that, you know, my wife, bless her heart, she gets up and usually four days out of the week, she gets up early and makes breakfast for me before I come to work. She sacrifices that for me. And so I'm grateful for that, but she doesn't keep score of that.
Right, right.
She doesn't say, well, I cook breakfast, so you should do this. Unless she wants something grilled.
Right.
Then
right.
She'll say, hey, how was breakfast this morning?
Are you the grill meister?
I am.
Awesome.
I enjoy it. But and so she'll joke about that, but it is a commitment. And it is she does that out of love.
You know, I've got a statistic here in a book that says a study conducted by the National Institute of Health, and by the way, this taxpayer-funded study cost $325,000.
Right.
But they found out of married couples that are the happiest are the ones who were able to calm down quickly after a conflict.
Yeah.
Now, I could have told them that, and it wouldn't have cost $250,000. But in other words, let it go.
What's the difference in calm down and shut down?
Oh, big difference. Because a shutdown is a freeze out.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, what's wrong? Nothing. Nothing. Now, men can do that too.
Oh, absolutely.
One of the keys to happiness in the home and certainly health in a marriage is communication. And, you know, guys, if you're not all that communicative, you know, make an effort. I mean, the greatest thing you'll ever do, number one, is to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Be saved. And your relationship with Jesus, your growth as a Christian, takes some investment. Second greatest thing you'll ever have, Jim, I say it's the second greatest gift right behind salvation, is marriage and family.
Yeah.
And look, you can put the car on cruise control. You can put an airplane on autopilot.
Right.
But a family relationship does not have an autopilot switch, does it?
No. And you know, as you said that, it made me think about one of the things that drives my wife nuts. And folks, guys, listen up. If you ever have the opportunity to tell your wife that you've run out of words for the day, don't.
Right.
That's just not
cool.
Good. No. But it had been one of those days at work where I had answered so many questions and had so many different conversations. And that's part of what I do. And I got home and there were things that she was wanting to talk about. And I said, sweetheart, I'm just out of words today. You know, right. But you know, you think about men, they talk about a limit and how many words ladies can use to explain something. And then for the guys, how many words they use. You know, man, you'll get more words out of a guy talking about a pretty truck than you will.
That's true.
You know, or the biggest fish they caught. But you're absolutely right. And one of the things that we do when we do talk is she gets aggravated with me, and rightfully so, because I'll be listening, but I may not be hearing.
Mm.
She yeah. will want to tell me something, and then she'll say, are you listening?
And Or are you planning what you're going to say next?
Right. And she said, you know, and I said, yeah, here's what you said. Well, she's not interested in what she said. She's asking me to have heard what she said and see about what we can do to rectify the situation. Yeah. And one of the things you talk about is love's benevolent and love is resilient.
Love doesn't
quit.
That's true.
That's where it comes out, and it's in conversation.
Let me encourage you. Do not sit around and plan your exit strategy. I'm serious. You know, look, that's just not an option. And often on our friendships, on mm-hmm. our church commitments, sometimes on our family, our marriages, we want to bail out. We want to throw in the towel. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another. Mm-hmm. That and the verb tense there, keep on going. Forgive one another. And Galatians talks about bearing one another's burdens.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, what we're saying, love goes the distance.
Absolutely.
Love goes the distance. Number four is that love is selfless. I've talked with people and they're like, well, my wife wants to do this, but maybe she wants to go see a movie or she wants to go to the craft show or something. And I'm not going to do that. She doesn't go with me to the ball game. Well, here's the deal. One of the great books of our lifetime was written by Gary Chapman.
Right.
The Five Love Languages.
Yeah.
And they're basically words of affirmation, physical touch, mm-hmm. acts of service, gift giving, or what's that fifth one? Let's see, words of affirmation, physical touch, gift giving, acts of service, and I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. But here's the point. We speak in the love language that we expect oftentimes. So like if what fills your emotional tank is physical touch, often that's what you'll speak. But maybe your wife, she craves acts of service.
Yeah.
She wants you to help make the bed or sort the laundry.
Right.
Men, the two primary love languages is physical touch and words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Now, wives, we had a caller one time on the show, and she said, my husband is, you know, this knucklehead. I just can't bring myself to say anything positive. I said, he's hungry for it. And so if you're going to be selfless, if you're going to forgive as the Lord forgave you, pray about it, but find out what your family members, especially your spouse's love language is, and try to speak to that.
Yeah, that's very true. And that is one of the things that guys have a real problem with. You know, in 1 Corinthians, it says love does not seek its own way. And it doesn't, because if we are so interested in what we can do to better our relationship with our spouse, which I am not the best at, so I'm not saying do what Jim Stanley does, because if you do, you're going to wind up with a knot on the noggin. So you want to be better than that. You want to take the example that Christ had, and you want to have that type of service. So when you're looking at not being, you know, of being selfless, that really means giving up everything.
Yeah.
You know, it no longer demands rights for itself. It no longer is self-demanding. It actually is one of those things that from time to time, you know, I mentioned my wife makes breakfast for me. So from time to time on a Saturday morning, I'll make breakfast for her.
Yeah.
You know,
well, God bless you.
I can pour cereal with the best of them.
I hear that.
You know? but it means that we really do give up our own rights to ourselves, and we give those over to our spouse.
Amen. Amen. You know what? I remembered the fifth love language. It's okay. Time.
Okay.
I should know that. And so a lot of times we guys, you know, we don't want to invest time, but that's part of it. Biblically understood, this is number five, love is active or productive. So love, biblically, is commitment, it's benevolent, mm-hmm. it's resilient, it's selfless, and it's active. I mean, it's not a passive thing. It says there that we are to bear with one another, forgive one another. And so if you're going to be a Christian that really does exemplify the love that we are called.
Right.
It's not really optional. For the disciple, we are called to love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We've got to do something. We've got to be active. And, you know, that old joke, it's a terrible joke. You know, the wife says, you know, honey, you don't ever say you love me. He said, I told you on our wedding day, if I change my mind, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
No.
No. And you know, when you were talking about physical touch a moment ago, sometimes it means simply holding your spouse's hand as they're walking across the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, ladies like security, and they find security in the fact that the husband is willing to show that simple display of affection to the point that he's holding the hand and saying, yeah, that's my wife.
Yeah.
I don't mind walking with her. I don't mind you knowing she's my wife.
Yeah.
And so that speaks to them, especially if security, and we know that to be true for most women, that one of the things they look for is security in that relationship. And the simple act of holding hands sometimes does that better than anything else.
Men, open the car door for your wife.
Oh, wow. You know, I used to do that.
Be a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need to do that. The final thing, and we're just about out of time, we've been talking about recovering the biblical ethic of love. The Bible reminds us love is volitional. It's choice. Volition means it's something we choose to do. And so if we're going to exhibit love, we've really got to remember it doesn't just happen accidentally. You've got to, with God's help and for His glory. And Jim, ultimately, I think trying to be a person of love and a godly demeanor, it's an act of worship, ultimately, isn't it?
Right.
If somebody goes, well, my family member doesn't deserve it. Well, we didn't deserve Calvary, did we?
We did not.
Yeah.
When we think about it, it goes back to what you mentioned there, that you have to choose. And I think that that's where we understand that our love is more than a simple emotion. It's not just a
it's
wimpy
just
feeling.
A feeling.
Yeah,
is it?
It's not a fleeting thought. It's something that we do purposely, and we choose to love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, then we've moved back to where it's not selfless. You know, it's all about me. And so we have to choose. And sometimes that choice is hard.
It's not conditional.
She may have burnt the eggs.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't make my love any less for her. And that's one thing I've always told my kids, Alex, is that regardless of what they do, I'm always going to love them.
Yeah.
They may live a prodigal lifestyle, but I'm the dad on the porch waiting for them to come home.
Right. Amen.
And so and that's a choice that I've made, that my kids can never do anything so bad that I'm going to stop being their father,
right?
Or that they can't ever come back to me and find a place in my arms. And Lord willing, I'll continue to maintain that, because it's something that I think we as Christians are called to do.
God bless you. Well, speaking of the choice to be a lover, and I'm not using that flippantly. I'm
right.
Talking about the biblical. I love the words of the Bible. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul wrote to Timothy in there and said, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a call to hone and develop your ministry skills.
Right.
But the word there is a Greek word that means to stir or kindle as a fire. In other words, you got to get this fire burning. Well, that's the exact same word used in the Colossians 3:14. It says, put on love.
Right.
Literally, it's meaning, look, choose to stir this up. Fan the flame of love in your heart.
Yeah.
And I've found that if your love for others grows, your love for the Lord will grow.
Absolutely.
How could I not love people? Because the greatest lover of all, Jesus, so loved the world.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's all life is about relationships, us with each other and us with the Lord.
Amen. Folks, this has been Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. There are some great notes that go with this topic today, and we'll post them on Facebook for you so that you can find them there. And there are some great follow-up thoughts in here, Alex, that we didn't have a chance to get to. And you've given us permission to use those.
Absolutely.
So, folks, look for that. It will help you in your walk. And we appreciate you listening to Exploring the Word. Stick around. We have Tony Perkins and Washington Watch coming your way next on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.